Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with three special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and obviously right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that's important to the multifamily industry, and the topic is From Design to Launch, Creating a People-Centric Property Management Company. Joining me by phone are three longtime multifamily industry veterans, Gus Rimpies, the president of Capital Square Living, Ryan Perez, senior vice president of shared services with Capital Square Living, and Steve Wunsch, vice president of learning and development with Capital Square Living. Welcome, everybody.
Thanks, Paul.
Good to be here, Paul.
Well, kind of for full transparency for our listeners, Steve Wunsch, I've followed on LinkedIn for many years, and we've met many times, and consider him a friend in the industry, and was very excited to see fairly recently, in the last 6 months or so, it seems, that he was making a move in his role, and he left everybody hanging on LinkedIn as far as as far as what was going on and what he was doing, and what is finally when he finally gave everybody the punchline of what was going on, he was going to work with Capital Square Living, which was a, if I understand correctly, is a property management company that was formed from zero to 60 in about 90 days. Is that correct, Steve?
Yeah, that's right, Paul. We started talking, and Gus will share a little bit more about kind of the pre-story, how we got this whole thing started. But he pinged Ryan and me back in October of last year or thereabouts, and started to tickle our fancies and get us. He said, "I'm getting the band back together," because we've all worked together in previous lives before. But I'll let Gus kind of share what actually prompted, the management company coming into existence, and a little bit about our background here.
Yeah, Gus, kind of give us the quick description of that, and then I've got some questions. But go ahead, Gus, tell us the story.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the story of Capital Square Living, and you'll hear us refer to it all so as CS Living, is really the story of our parent company, Capital Square. And that company was founded about 11 years ago by a gentleman by the name of Lewis Rogers. And Lewis Rogers and I have known each other for many, many years. In fact, we've been business partners together, and Lewis served on one of the board of directors that I was a co-founder of. And he, about 11 years ago, he launched into the 1031 tax free exchange DST space. And like many of the startups at that time, he had a fair amount of early success, did very well, but the growth was moderate through those first couple years. And about 5 years out, this company, the Capital Square company, really, really took off and became, within a very short period of time, one of the largest DST providers and sponsors in the country. And during that time, he also started to build out the platform at Capital Square. He added a development team, which is building some of the absolute nicest multifamily that you can find in the country. He grew the sales team. He had added an asset management team to oversee all these assets that have come into the company. And he also has an investor relations team that deals directly with each of those investors. And so, and during that time also, he established a REIT. So he had really, everything was in place, and the last piece was the property management side. Lewis and I started this conversation probably about 2 years ago, and at that time, Capital Square had approximately 7,000 units under management. And it probably did not make sense to bring that management back in-house on these assets. But over that time period, over that two-year period until this time last year, the company grew to about 14,000 units that had various investor sponsors. And that made a whole lot of sense. And so we started this conversation last summer. We fleshed out what that would look like from a profitability perspective, an economic perspective. And the decision was made in September to move forward with the formation of this property management company with the idea that we would kick off first of the year. And frankly, the first two calls I made were both to Ryan and Steve, so they'll share those stories with you too, Paul. But that's a little bit about the history of the company. We're just one more piece of a much larger organization, and hopefully we're doing things a little bit differently than the rest of the industry also.
And so currently, how many units are being managed by CS Living?
We have, right now, we have 10 properties. Guys, how many total units would that be?
It is, doing the quick math, 2,891 units currently.
And yep. You're located in the Virginia area?
The portfolio, right now, the initial 3 or 4 months of transitioning real estate will be all Richmond and or Virginia real estate. Mm-hmm. In October, we go into Georgia markets, mm-hmm. and then we proceed into North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee.
Wow.
And by this time next year, we'll have close to 12,000 units under management within the company. And that discounts any new growth from the acquisition side from Capital Square. So as they acquire additional properties, we will be the property manager from day one.
That's fantastic. You know, when you think about the, you know, how property management companies come to be, you know, on a more organic type of growth process. I mean, you guys really did a sprint to get moving. Talk a little bit about that, Ryan.
Sure. So, you know, the conversation started in early fall, as Steve mentioned. And there was a lot of planning and preparation that led into that. And building the foundational structure was really important to us, making sure that we had correct processes in place, that we were thinking and vetting and looking at all the right technologies to build our platform. Although, you know, from inception to the first property takeovers may have been 90 days, it was a very diligent and thoughtful process leading up to that.
Yeah, and I mean that's just like a blink of the eye, Steve. I mean you you know you've been doing this a long time. Tell me a little bit about was it overwhelming?
I don't think so, because we really, to Ryan's point, we took an intentional approach, you know, to make sure that we had the right systems in place from day one. You know, in my role over learning and development, you know, the first 2 or 3 months, I was really just focused on making sure we had a solid foundation of standard operating procedures. I partnered with Grace Hill and Policy Partner to make sure that we had, at least to start with, a really good base of, you know, the basic fundamental policies and procedures that any management company would need to have in place to operate efficiently. And then, you know, Ryan, her plate is way more full than mine is at this point, because she's managing multiple systems. She's managing our marketing efforts, in addition to a lot of other projects that she's got on her plate. But, you know, I think the fact that we were being intentional with a people-centered vision, you know, unlike some management companies that exist now where decisions are kind of made at a higher level without a lot of consideration to what happens to folks in the field, we really put a lens on what we were doing to say, you know, what's going to be the best thing for these teams as we transition them? Let's make it as easy as possible for them. Let's make sure they have all the resources and tools that they need from day one, make sure they know how to find them. And then, you know, because we are lucky to be present in this market, we've been a physical presence during the transitions and afterwards as well, which has really helped to, you know, bolster the relationships that we as the senior leadership team have with our folks that are, you know, making our jobs easier every day by serving our customers well. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of I don't think there was anything that was too challenging or anything that we couldn't overcome, but we did really pace it well, and we were very intentional with those decisions that we made.
Well, we've got about a minute left in this segment. Gus, just quickly, what was, I guess, the biggest initial challenge that you had? We're going to talk about some other things in the future segments, but what was the biggest initial challenge you had to overcome when putting this together?
Yes, a great question. You know, really, the biggest challenge I had was initially convincing Ryan and Steve to come on board, and they'll share some stories with that. And frankly, I knew once I had them committed to this project, and Paul, they did work with me for about 2 months at the end of last year to really push this agenda forward, so that when we hit January 3rd, the ground running, you know, we really had things. At least we had the vision of where we were going at that point. But I think that was very important. Not necessarily a big challenge, but what I felt was also very important from my perspective and what I was doing was to make sure that there was a very sound interface between the Human Resources Department here at Capital Square and CS Living and what we were doing. Also, IT needed to be fully integrated with what we were doing. And fortunately, Lewis Rogers at Capital Square had really built a company with the same moral values that Ryan, Steve, and I bring to the table, with the same way to treat people and the same integrity. And so there were great people in place, and making sure that they understood our business, because there was no one in this company that understood multifamily at all. So that letting them know exactly how we needed things to work and that coordination and collaboration was really one of the biggest challenges I had. And that's where a lot of my focus has been really since the formation of the company in January.
All right. Well, we are going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. Today, we're discussing an important topic to the multifamily industry. Our topic is From Design to Launch, Creating a People-Centric Property Management Company. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are three longtime multifamily industry veterans, Gus Rempes, president of Capital Square Living, Ryan Perez, Senior Vice President of Shared Services with Capital Square Living, and Steve Wunsch, Vice President of Learning and Development with Capital Square Living. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So we kind of talked in the first segment about kind of how everything came to be. And you know, you guys, as I said in the introduction, are industry veterans. So this is not your first rodeo doing this, but you had to have some type of a plan. So how did you structure that plan, Gus?
Yes, you know, it was interesting. I had actually, Ryan and Steve and I, as we mentioned, had worked together previously at a company that was sold in 2016. And frankly, I was, for all practical purposes, in retirement. And, you know, my relationship with Lewis brought me out of this. So I had a little bit of a learning curve in front of me, but I had a vision for what we needed to accomplish. And the first things I did in terms of evaluating this company and what it meant to Capital Square was we had to look at the profitability affordability. We had to look at the economics of that property, and it was building out that model. And one of the first things I did was, even before I let Ryan and Steve know that they were actually part of my master plan, was to reach out to a number of the other team members that we used to work with in the old days, getting updates, what's out there in the industry, how are things working. And so I spent probably the better part of 2 months pulling that plan together, talking with many of the people and many of the experts that we worked with in the field to flesh out a picture of what this looks like. And then the next thing we really did is we looked at what was a reasonable time frame to bring 12,000 apartments on board. And we knew that we would need at least that 90-day window before we could bring on the first of the properties, even with all the groundwork and legwork we did prior to the first of the year. And then we had to look at geographically, where were those properties located? Where did it make sense for us to, you know, Richmond obviously was the natural choice. We had 10 or 12 properties here in Richmond, then Virginia, and then geographically, where do we go from there? And then we kind of fleshed out the staffing that we thought we would need at each of these turnovers and takeovers and transitions. So that was really, it was kind of a couple month plan put together with a lot of wonderful feedback from a lot of great leaders in our industry, and that's kind of where we came up with it. And that plan today, I will tell you, and I say this all the time to the team, is that if we are continuing to evolve, and if we're not a better management company in a year from now, you know, we really haven't been a success. We've been somewhat of a failure, and I see every single month the things that we do better and better each time that we transition another four or five or six properties into our portfolio.
Yeah, and Ryan, how did those first transitions go? Did everything go according to plan?
It did, actually. I feel happy and confident to report that our first transitions were a success. We started with two locations comprised of 674 units here in Richmond, and we were able to retain 100% of the on-site teams, both office and service. And I think what's different also is that we made sure to have hands-on support on takeover day. So although we always anticipate small hiccups, we do feel like the due diligence process and the exploration prior to takeover day really helped us to fully prepare for a successful transition. Post our initial takeovers in April, we intentionally paused in the month of May, and we took that month to reevaluate our processes and ensure that if there were tweaks to be made, changes that needed to happen, that we could allow ample time to do so. And I think ultimately this was hugely beneficial and helped set us up for success moving into phase two and beyond with our takeover schedule.
And go ahead.
It is interesting. We received a message today from one of the properties that we were brought on board last week. And this is a very experienced manager, and she sent to Ryan, Steve, and I an email that said, look, I've been through this four times, and this was by far and away the best transition I've ever experienced in a property management company. And I think that's because we've listened to our employees, we've listened to our team members as to what they were saying was working and not working. But, you know, I think that's a great antidote about where we are today.
Yeah, and Steve, I want to ask you, I mean, with your role in learning development and training folks, you know, it's very easy whenever you try to bring something new on, and you're bringing on a new management company with that really is started from scratch. You know, what type of pushback do you get, or do you get any pushback? Are people so excited that they've got a new opportunity when you're there? But you know, anytime someone tries to bring on a new technology or whatever, there's always some people in the organization, it seems, that want to push back or they don't like change. How do you overcome that?
Right. Well, you know, again, to the word intentional, you know, we were really intentional in the decisions that we made from a tech stack perspective, looking at all the third-party managers that we were working with in the current state. What platforms were they on? What additional technologies were they using for, you know, market surveys and reputation management and all those things? And then we chose to go with the options that meant the least amount of change for the folks on site. So, you know, maybe something lived in a different spot on the screen, but it was still familiar enough that they could operate easily from day one. And I think that really, you know, the technology piece is probably the biggest place where we get the pushback for change. And by being intentional and choosing the platforms that we chose,
we kind of eliminated the opportunity for pushback. So I think when it comes down to it, and Gus and Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, the only real pushback that we would get would be, you know, we're a new company and people don't know us and, you know, we don't have a proven track record, which, you know, could have impacted some folks' decisions to stay with us. But based on what I've seen and the feedback that we've received from folks in the field, I think that pushback has really been minimal or almost nothing.
That's
I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's fantastic that you're able to accomplish that. and correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but you actually had to make a move.
I did, a physical move from Denver to Richmond.
Yeah, I mean that's a big commitment in and of itself. So.
Well, the thing of it is, Paul, is when you've worked with somebody before, mm-hmm. and that's why I always stress, and for those folks that are in your listening audience, you know, the multifamily universe is very small, mm-hmm. and there's, you know, maybe 2 degrees of separation between me and a lot of people that I've worked with in the past. And, you know, that's why you don't ever want to burn a bridge unless you absolutely know you're never going to walk across it again. Because having worked for Gus in the past, knowing the way he leads and the heart that he has for the people at the sites, it was a very easy decision to make. And I'm sure Ryan will commiserate with me on that decision.
Yes.
In a minute. But, you know, when Gus called and shared what he was doing, I didn't even hesitate to say yes. I was, you know, I was in a place where it was a good time to transition. You know, like I said, when you know who you work for, what they stand for, and it actually is the way that our parent organization is structured as well, the values and the mission, vision, and core values that represent our parent company, Capital Square, are very easily reflected in how we're operating at Capital Square Living. And it's been a really easy transition.
That's great.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, Steve, because I do think that although there might be some trepidation when we enter new markets and talk to associates from the current managing PMCs, I think what comes across to them and resonates the most is that this is a very unique opportunity that doesn't come along very often in someone's career, where they really get to be a part of helping to build a new management company. They get to put their thumbprint on it, share their ideas, have a seat at the table. And for many, that is intriguing enough for them to make the leap.
Yep. And we've had some folks, Paul, within the site level teams that, you know, maybe it wasn't necessarily given to us in the form of pushback, but, you know, questioning, hey, why do we do it this way? Have we thought about doing it this way instead? Really giving them the opportunity to share their opinions, to share their ideas. If something was working with a prior management company, why not? Let's capitalize on that. Don't need to reinvent the wheel if it's not necessary. And having that open door where there's nothing off the table, we want you to feel like you can discuss anything with us, no matter what level in the organization your role might be at. That's really allowed us to be really successful in creating that environment, to Ryan's point, where people feel like, you know, I'm not just a cog in the wheel. I'm actually a wheel in this machine, and I'm heard, and I'm seen, and I'm valued.
That is a fantastic opportunity for a lot of people that they don't get, as you mentioned, very often. We're going to break it here, and we're going to be back right after these messages with more of this. We're going to talk a little bit about lessons learned when forming this people-centric management company. So we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about comps. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your property today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control Wynet provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control Wynet only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing an important topic to the multifamily industry, from design to launch, creating a people-centric property management company. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are three longtime multifamily industry veterans, Gus Rempes, president of Capital Square Living, Ryan Perez, senior vice president of shared services with Capital Square Living, and Steve Wunsch, Vice President of Learning and Development with Capital Square Living. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So I mentioned as we were ending the previous segment that we were going to talk in this segment about lessons learned. Obviously, when you're going from zero to 60, starting a multifamily property management company, there are some lessons that could be learned, I'm sure. So Ryan, why don't you give us an idea of some of the things that that you did learn when you were putting everything together?
Sure, I'm happy to. I think for us, part of it was making sure, again, going back to how intentional we were with this, and what we did know in the beginning, and what these lessons will show you, is that being highly structured and organized is an absolute must. Without those things, I don't think that we would have been nearly successful in taking on as many units as we have. We're onboarding approximately 4 to 6 properties, so about 1,000 units every 30 days without fail through late spring of next year. And so in order to do that, I think it's important that, you know, you move on a timeline. And so what we've done is we've laid out a timeline of objectives that happen over a 100-day period in advance of each takeover. And a few of those milestones, excuse me, help keep us in line. And so one of those is, at the 75-day mark prior to transition, we host a virtual meeting with all of the communities from the various property management companies, and we do what's called Share the CSL Story. And this helps us to share our vision, our mission, our goals. It helps allow the team members time to learn about us, to digest what's happening. Some may have gone through prior transitions with management changes, and some this is new to them. Helps them to gather their thoughts and to ask questions, and just gives us the time to give an initial introduction. And then at the 60-day mark, we do a roadshow where we visit in person each of these markets, meet the team members, shake their hands, look them in the eye, really do a face-to-face that allows all of us to make a connection and to answer any additional questions that they might have. From there, initial interviews are conducted, offer letters go out, there's an acceptance, and should we have a team member that decides that this isn't the right opportunity for them, that gives us ample time to vet additional resumes and fill the position prior to takeover. So our goal is never to go into takeover day with open positions if we can help it. Another lesson learned, I think Steve touched on it earlier, was feedback from the field. I think it's really important that we keep a listening ear, especially to those team members who are running day-to-day operations on site. And what we've learned from that is that giving them that voice and that opportunity, we've learned some valuable lessons about structures and processes and even some technology that works very well for the properties that we're going to be managing. And so we're really taking all of that into account. And to share a quick story with you, I think bringing it back to a people-centric organization, one of our first takeovers there in Richmond, we had a service team member that had his sabbatical scheduled on the week of takeover. This had been many months in the works and had been delayed multiple times due to COVID. And so what I do know is that this particular employee was set to take sabbatical on March 31st, and we were set to take over on April 1st. And we honored that sabbatical because we wanted to make sure that these teams know that they are valued employees. And if that was something that he had earned, that we were certainly going to honor not only his tenure, but the sabbatical time. So come takeover day, this particular individual was not there because he was enjoying his sabbatical. And so we really feel like making sure to give back to the team members and to really put the center and the focus on them is the core of what we're doing. Because if we're taking care of our associates and our team members, then in turn, they're taking care of our residents. And then we hope that translates to longer retention.
So when you take the show on the road, as you mentioned previously, are all three of you going to these properties?
Absolutely. There's actually a core group of folks that would include the three of us. Chris Ray is our operations manager. Courtney Krikar is our regional director of operations. We've recently hired another regional property manager. She will likely be included in the local visits. And then our regional director of service as well. Typically, the five of us hit the roadshow as we begin to branch into other markets like Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky. We will strategically design who's on those visits, but we really do think it's important to get face-to-face and to give these teams the opportunity to meet all of us if possible.
And what about the retention? I know you mentioned that in your first group that you retained 100% of the employees. How is that going as you progress?
Mm-hmm. As we progress, we are trending just over a little bit over 50% right now, and that's a combination of all markets, all communities, and all positions, whether those are office positions or service positions, which I feel like is a pretty strong retention rate.
No, that is. That is. We've got about 3.5 minutes left in the segment. So, Gus, what are you most excited about right now as far as what you've seen? And this is something that is developing and continuing to develop. What are you most excited about?
Yes, you know, probably the things that you know, give me the energy to get up and get going in the morning is just this what we think is a fairly unique creation that all of us have had a very big hand in. I mean, I love coming to the office. You know, as you know, Ryan and Steve and I have worked together many years. Courtney and Chris are new to the team, i.e., we've never worked previous to this endeavor, but every day interfacing with these people that are all committed to the same kind of goal of creating this very team member centric kind of company is really, really some of the things that I love to be doing. And it's really re-energized me in my career path here. That's kind of really what keeps me rolling.
How about you, Steve?
For me, what I'm most excited about is the people. Since my lens is through developing and teaching those folks to do what they do to the best of their abilities, even better, is such an exciting thing. And really to let them know how much we value them, because if it weren't for them, we wouldn't be here. And we owe our livelihood and our careers to those folks that are working so hard on the sites. And I think by demonstrating that through our actions and through our words, by creating an environment where everybody feels safe, no matter what the topic is, we can talk about it. And I think it's really created an atmosphere where people are excited to be a part of what we're doing. We have one manager at one of our second phase two takeover properties who's probably referred, I don't know, Ryan, how many people has Debbie referred? 4 or 5 people?
At least.
And at least that many. She's probably going to have a nice vacation with all the referral bonuses that she'll be getting. But, this goes to show that the folks are as excited as we are about what's going on. And I think it really is because we've made it our number one goal to let them know how much they're valued.
Okay, so we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that's important to the multifamily industry. Our topic is From Design to Launch, Creating a People-Centric Property Management Company. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are 3 longtime multifamily industry veterans, Gus Rempes, president of Capital Square Living, Ryan Perez, senior vice president of shared services with Capital Square Living, and Steve Wunsch, vice president of learning and development with Capital Square Living. I wanted to ask you guys, each of you, and I'll start with you, Gus, tell us what are the things, everything doesn't go as smooth as you would like to. So what are the things that keep you up at night when you are trying to get continue to progress and build this company?
Yes, you know, there are a couple things that really come to mind when I hear that question, and I think probably the biggest one is that right now we just have so many moving pieces. If you think about it right now, over the next 60 to 90 days, we're currently doing the transitioning of a total of 14 properties over the next 90 days. And so that is an amazing amount of data that we're having to decipher, to go through, to make sure that things flow smoothly as on the data transition. And with that much work that's really such back-end oriented, I'm really concerned that we make sure that we live up to the commitment that we've made to our team members, that we provide that work environment that's going to maximize their work experience. And I know that we will get there. I just want to make sure we're there from day one, because you know, if we can do those type of things, I'm 100% confident that we're going to outperform our peer group and that we're going to create a culture that will attract the best and brightest talent for us. So if we can keep on top of the details that we need as we transition this fairly aggressive schedule, I think we're going to be well served and make sure that we also keep that strong message to the team members that we have within the organization and that we want to bring on board.
How about you, Ryan? Anything keeping you up at night when it comes to building the company?
Similar to Gus, you know, at the pace in which we're moving, just ensuring that we're communicating early and often to everyone and recognizing that it's being proactive in our approach as opposed to being reactive, and remembering additionally that every 30 days we're onboarding more communities, and that onboarding process has to be reestablished every single time, every 30 days, with all of our processes, all of our structures, all of our tech stack training, and making sure that we're doing it in a way that properly sets our team members up for success. And so I would be lying if I said that my eyes don't pop, you know, open in the middle of the night thinking of seven things that I should have done the day prior, and then I jot it down on a list and try to go back to sleep. But there are many, many moving pieces. So just ensuring that we're being highly organized about it and we're being thoughtful about how much we're putting on our team members.
How about you, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to echo their sentiments as well. I think, you know, just worrying about that one spinning plate that might be falling to the ground that we might have missed, I think is probably the most obvious thing. All the way down to little details, you know, I always think about the devil's in the details and, you know, making sure that we've got, you know, a day one welcome kit with all kinds of good swag and shirts for maintenance. And, you know, when we show up at a property and maybe that hasn't arrived on time, you know, those are the kind of little details that really keep my mind spinning. I have a habit of reminding Gus and Ryan that, you know, everything will work out. You know, we don't have to be on the computer working, you know, 24/7, because, you know, at the end of the day, we have to have balance in our lives just as much as we want our team members to have balance in their lives. And so I think reminding one another as a leadership team too, that, you know, it's okay to stop and take a breath, and, you know, there's nothing that we can't fix. If we missed something, we'll pick it up and we'll get it taken care of. But I think for me, it's just making sure that those little details are present and knowing that the team members appreciate those little details.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And Gus, you know, you mentioned that there is a process, and every 30 days you're taking on more of the portfolio. And then finally, at some point, barring any new acquisitions, you'll have the entire portfolio under management. And, you know, it'd be easy to say, well, let's kind of see what the score is at the end of that process. But there's wins along the way that you're having. What are some of the biggest wins you've had to date so far?
Yeah, great question, Paul. You know, as I look back on the things that really have brought me a lot of satisfaction in what we've accomplished, I think there's two areas. I think the buy-in that we've received from the existing Capital Square teams, whether it's the team from HR, whether it's the team from IT, or our marketing and branding team, we have gotten amazing support from those people. And I think initially they really didn't understand the message that we were preaching. Capital Square was a very much investor-forward company, as they should be, and we kind of flipped it on their heels in that we were very much of a team member-focused organization, which is kind of mirror images of each other, to be honest, because we believe that if we can take care of our team members, they will provide the ultimate in service to our residents. And ultimately, the investors, the byproduct is they're going to receive substantially better results than they would with anybody else managing their money. So that was a real win for us. And just the buy-in that we've seen from our team members on site. We've actually had people who we would just have met with them, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I looked you guys up. I saw your website, and they know exactly what our message is. And that they said, yeah, I really wanted to make sure that, you know, you guys are really seriously considering me for roles within the company. So those two areas, the interface with our corporate team, the bigger Capital Square picture, and then really the buy-in that we've seen from the people on the property.
And Ryan, what's the focus moving forward?
Paul, I think our focus has to continue to be staying ahead of the transition timeline, ensuring that we're highly structured in our approach, but also that we're recruiting and interviewing top talent. It's really important to us to get the right people on board in the positions in which they excel in. And that's something that I share with the teams every time we go on a roadshow, is as much as they're all valued in their current roles, we want them to make a decision that's right for them, because what we're doing here is a little bit different and it's special, and that might not be a fit for everyone. But what we are looking to do is to ensure that the team members that do receive offers are the right fit for Capital Square Living. So just ensuring that we stay ahead of making sure that we're fully staffed with the right people in the right places.
And Steve, I've got a question when it comes to training. You know, one of the things that I've had people mention on other episodes has been how things have changed since the pandemic. Technologies that were not even really on the table to be considered were, you know, pushed to the front because of there was no other way to operate properties.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about how you keep training consistent. I know you mentioned you have a partnership with Grace Hill, but tell me a little bit about how you keep consistency when you're going into all these different markets with different teams.
I just think that it's about leveraging the skills that we have. We have a really strong regional director, Courtney Krikar. She's very organized. She's, you know, an industry veteran. I think her last gig was 11 years with her prior organization as a senior leader there. And she's really kind of one of the forces of nature that keep us consistent. She knows processes. She knows what needs to happen when. She's got a deep bench of folks that we can draw from for a talent pool. And we're also leveraging the folks in the field. We don't make people wait for opportunities. We've already had a couple of internal promotions that happened due to the takeover and how things were structured. So we've had somebody who was an assistant manager who's already moved into a management role. A leasing director has moved into a assistant manager role, and we've seen that at a couple of different properties here in the Richmond area. We have some seasoned managers who have done what they're doing for a long time. I think of Debbie Friedhoff at Trails at Short Pump. She's stepping up to the plate and creating a buddy system so that on takeover day, we're partnering people up based on their position. We're tracking bench strength amongst the current team members that we have, who's good at what, so that we can really leverage those folks and promote their abilities and develop their leadership skills. I think really nothing has changed in terms of how we serve the customer, other than the fact that we have a few more bells and whistles when it comes to technology. And we do have to juggle onboarding and all the things they need to know in those first, you know, couple of weeks, for everything from, you know, our market survey platform to a flexible payment program that we have to offer residents, to compliance training, to leasing 101. You know, my focus initially has just been on the compliance piece, fair housing, sexual harassment, drug-free workplace, those things that really matter from a compliance perspective.
and we've got time. You know, I'm not going to build it quickly to get it out there. I would rather take the time to be intentional and deliver a learning experience that's valuable not only for our team, but has value for me as their learning leader.
All right, fantastic. Well,
if that makes sense.
That does make sense. We've got to leave it here. We're about to close out the episode, but I wanted to, each of you to take about 30 seconds and tell us how you got started in the industry, and if someone wants to reach out to you, how can they do that? I'll start with you, Gus.
Yes. Again, real quickly, I got started in the industry. I've been in nothing but the multifamily business for basically my entire career. But for a large portion of that, I was on the acquisitions teams. During my career, I've probably bought and sold over 120,000 apartments in various different companies in different publicly traded companies. And it was only towards the latter part of my career that I got into management. And as I tell all my management friends that when I was doing acquisitions, management sure screwed up a lot of my great acquisitions. And now that I'm in management, you know, those acquisitions guys don't know anything about managing a property.
Yes.
So I bring a pretty unique, I've never been on site though, but so I've been a pretty unique, maybe perspective of a multifamily. Yeah.
That is.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Paul.
No, I was going to say, how can someone reach out to you if they needed to?
Yes, please. My email is grempies. So grempies, and all one word at capitalsquareliving.com.
All right, and Ryan, quickly, we got about 30 seconds for you to answer.
Sure. I am approaching my 20th year in multifamily. Mm-hmm. I started as a leasing consultant in 2004, and since then have held various roles. I have experience with an owner-manager, with a REIT, a lot of experience with third-party management, student housing, you name it. I am excited about this venture because I think it allows a lot of us to come together and to culminate all of the previous years of experience that we have to build something really special. If anyone's interested in getting in touch with me, it is rperez@capitalsquareliving.com.
And Steve, we got about 20 seconds.
Sure. So this is my 30th year in multifamily. I started as a leasing consultant, but about 27 of those 30 years have been in a support or learning and development role. Love what we do, and would love to tell you more about what's happening at Capital Square. You can get in touch with me at swunch@capitalsquareliving.com. Or you can use our website. There's a Get In Touch at CapitalSquareLiving.com contact form on our CapitalSquareLiving.com website. We'd love to hear from you. We're always looking for talent in the markets that we're moving and shaking in, so please don't hesitate to look us up.
All right. Well, thank all of you for being on. And for our listeners' benefit, if you go to our website, MultifamilyRadio.com, to this episode page, the Capital Square Living logo will be there. You click on it, it'll take you directly to their website. So thank you guys for being on today. It was great having you. I'd love to have you back on again sometime soon, but we'll be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.